Let's turn to God's Word in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. We will read from verse 35 to 41. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. Furious storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The word of the Lord. Jesus had a long day. If you look at verse 1, it says, "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake." So he has been teaching and he's now teaching again. And then he goes on. He gives the parable of the sower. It's all in chapter 4. And then a lamp on a stand. Then the parable of the growing seed, and then the parable of the mustard seed. I'm sure he loved to talk. 4 sermons a day. And no wonder he is tired. So when the evening comes, he wants to rest. Our Lord, he loved to be with the people. But he also regularly took time to be away from the people. So he says to the disciples, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." So as the sun sets, Jesus is on the boat with the disciples, sailing across the lake, which is about 13 kilometers wide. And all of a sudden, we read about a furious storm that came. Furious storm and winds, waves broke over the boat. Water started to come into the boat faster than they can bail it out. And it was nearly swamped. And what does Jesus do? He's sleeping on a cushion, it says. To me, that sounds like he was determined to sleep. I don't know. If you come into the church on a Sunday morning with a cushion, with a pillow, that tells me something. He was sleeping in the furious storm on a pillow. At first, disciples, they probably waited, right? You know, a little bit of wind, a little bit of wave. And then the wind became stronger. They still waited. And it became even stronger. Still waited. And the waves started to hit the boat from all sides. Then water pours into the boats. And they know we're definitely in trouble. And they look at Jesus, and he is sleeping. So they wake him up. They wake him up and say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Do you not care if we die?" You know, they don't even say, "Do something, Jesus." I don't know. Maybe they thought it was too late. Then Jesus gets up. He looks around. And as if it's not a big deal, he does a remarkable thing that the disciples could not have ever imagined. He rebukes to the wind. And he commands to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind dies, and it was completely calm, dead calm. And what a perfect moment that is to say something so dramatic, right? Something so impactful. I don't know, if I were Jesus, I would say something like, what would you say? I think I would say something like, worship me, or I am that I am, or something so dramatic and so impactful that will just carry into the disciples. But at that moment, Jesus turns his face to the disciples and he says, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? And I thought about it. And you know, if what he just did to be a greater miracle, then the disciples should have been so scared, right? Do you know what I mean? If Jesus' saving work is greater, then the situation must have been more dire, right? So the disciples needed to be so scared that what Jesus did was such an amazing miracle. But he speaks as if it wasn't a big deal. Why are you afraid? Jesus, we were about to die. The disciples, as you know, they were fishers, right? They were fishers in that particular lake for a long time. When they say they were about to die, I believe them. Right? It probably wasn't an exaggeration. Commentators say that the storms in that lake, Sea of Galilee, were very common. The Sea of Galilee is actually the lake that has the lowest elevation on Earth. If you've been there, it's 200 meters below sea level. Isn't that amazing? 200 meters below sea level. And then it's surrounded by very high mountains. So that creates a lot of storm all the time. And when these experienced local fishermen say they were going to die, they were going to die, really. So what do you mean, Jesus? Why are you so afraid? It's hard to understand. But I like it when Jesus says something that's hard to understand. Because whenever that happens, there's always something about it. Always there's something Jesus is trying to show us. Let's look at the passage again, verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, sleeping on a pillow. The disciples finally woke him up and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown, if we die? Now at my second reading, it sounds different. It's not just being afraid, isn't it? I think I see something else. Before, I thought it was just fear. But I think now I see doubt, resentment, or even the feeling of being betrayed by the one they trusted. Why don't you care? Why can't you help us? Just a while ago, on the other side of the lake, Jesus, you performed all kinds of miracles, right? You healed people. You miraculously fed people. You've performed a lot of great miracles. Why can't you help us now? And more importantly, you called us to follow you. Just a chapter before, in Mark 3, Jesus called them to follow him. Jesus, we just left our families and our occupations to follow you. We made that decision and we came to follow you. And now you don't care if we are about to die? I don't know. It's not in the Bible, but maybe they were thinking, I should have stayed at home. I knew there was something strange when he said, I'll make you fishers of men. What does that supposed to mean? Jesus, why didn't we just stay on the other side of the lake and rest there? Did you not know the storm was coming? Why did you say, let's go to the other side of the lake? You know, people were cheering for us. They wanted to make you a king. Why do you always run away from people when they want you so badly? So this fear doesn't stop at just being afraid, right? It always leads us to something else. It brings its friends, doubt, resentment, anger, disappointment, distrust. And to that, Jesus says, why are you so afraid? Why you have no faith? And isn't it true? We often experience the same thing. God, I read it in the Bible, and people share their testimonies. This friend of mine, he prayed for finding a new job just last week. And today he comes and he says, you answered his prayer with a great job. Why does it have to be so difficult for me to be employed? Don't you care? God, really? They now have their fourth child? When we have been praying so many years to have a baby? Don't you care? God, didn't you heal this lady from her illness in such a miraculous way? Why not my mother? Don't you care? Why did it happen to me now? Jesus, don't you care? Eric prayed about it in his prayer, and you may have read about another mass shooting in the U.S. in Southern California last week. Another day where a parent will not be able to have their child come home. Why? Don't you care, Jesus? About a month ago, I was in L.A. for a conference, and there I met this lady who has lost her son, Paul Lee, at a mass shooting incident at Seattle Pacific University about 4 years ago. He was a first-year student. And she shared with us that after 4 years, her heart still drops whenever she hears a sound of siren. It was a different thing when you saw it on the news and when you listen from a mom who will never see his son again. And she shared with us that this question haunted her for a long time. God, why did you lead my family to move to the U.S.? They were an immigrant family, right? And she couldn't help but ask, why, God? Why didn't you just let us live in Korea where there is zero gun violence? Why didn't we just stay on the other side of the lake? Why did you say to us, let's go to the other side of the lake or the Pacific Ocean and have us encounter this horrific storm? Don't you care if we die? Don't you care if my son dies? If a storm is something that makes us fear, if it's something that makes us doubt, if it's something that makes us cry, we're about to die, if a storm is something that makes us say, God, don't you care? Don't we all have storms? Furious and fierce storms? And don't we all know that when we experience such a storm, it's not just a figurative, it's not just a metaphoric storm, but it's a real one. Furious and fierce, that it tries to devour our lives. If God is so great and powerful, and if God really loves us and He calls us, then why? Why don't you care, God? Storms of life, overwhelming wave after wave after wave, financial wave, relational wave, physical health-related wave, to the point where we are about to sink. And it seems like Jesus, who I thought was with me, is sleeping. And we say, Jesus, don't you care? And He sees us and says, why are you afraid? And that question brings us to the deepest bottom of our hearts. And we realize we are afraid, not because the storm is great, but because it feels like God is not there. We are afraid not because the storm is fierce, but because we can't see God in the picture. And then Jesus says, do you have no faith? Maybe, just maybe, that's what's at the heart of the issue. Do you have no faith? Do you have no faith? But this question is not about us. It's about God. The question is not, don't you have enough faith? But the question is God worthy of your trust? That's two very different questions, right? Jesus is not asking if our faith is strong enough, as if it depends on us, strong enough that we will not be afraid. No, He's asking about Himself. Am I worthy of your trust? It's about God and who He is. How do we know that? Well, verse 41 says, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him. They were terrified. Right? It's not like Jesus calmed the storm and they were all happy. They were terrified. They are still afraid. Some translations say they were still in great fear. Before the storm, they were afraid. But now, they are terrified. Terrified with the fear of Jesus. When you realize that Jesus is the Lord, really the Lord of all things, you are terrified. Yes, He is loving and He is tender, but any time you are truly in the presence of this unfathomable greatness and lordship, you feel a sense of fear, a great fear. Just remember what he said to the storm. Quiet, be still. I can only speak like that to my children. Quiet. Doesn't work, but you can never speak like that to your wife. Only a father can speak like that. Only a king can speak like that. Only a creator can speak like that. Quiet, be still, as a master, as the Lord. See, Jesus doesn't pray. He doesn't say, God, please stop this storm. Instead, he just did it himself because he is God. That's who he is. Then we know the answer to the question that the disciples were asking at the end. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And we are once again filled with great fear. But this time, it's not the fear that's filled with doubt, resentment, or disappointment, or distrust. This fear is filled with awe and reverence and love. This fear does not exclude love. What are two different kinds of fear that we can have? One that leads to despair and distrust, and another that fills us with trust and awe. And there's only one difference: the object of our fear. When we fear the things that we don't really need to be afraid of, things go wrong. But when we fear the one worthy of our fear, with great fear, fear filled with love, then we fear nothing else. When we fear Jesus, we fear nothing else. In the book titled Jesus the King by preacher Tim Keller, some of you will know this book from the Risen House Bible study. Keller notices the striking similarity between our passage today and the story of Jonah in the Old Testament. It's a fascinating comparison. Mark, it seems, is deliberately using the languages of Jonah. Both Jesus and Jonah were out in the sea. In both cases, they experienced a furious storm, and the boat was about to sink. The description is almost the same. Both Jesus and Jonah sleeps through the storm, inside the boat, below deck. Jonah didn't have a cushion, but it says he had a deep sleep. Both the disciples and the sailors were terrified by the storm. And they wake up, Jesus and Jonah, and both say, don't you care if we die, if we drown? And in both stories, God miraculously intervenes and the sea becomes calm. And in both stories, the disciples and the sailors were now more terrified before the storm. But there's one difference, only one difference, Jonah, in the midst of the storm, says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and you will live. Jonah says, if I die, you will live. But Jesus doesn't say. That's the big difference between the two stories, right? Or is it really? Keller asks. If I die, you will live. By my death, you will live. Mark is saying the story isn't different at all. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says, someone greater than Jonah is here. On the cross, Jesus threw himself into the greatest storm. The only storm that can actually really kill us because of our sin. And in that greatest storm, he becomes our greatest Savior. If I die, you will live. By my death, you will live. Why are you so afraid? People of God, this is why and how we are filled with hope when it seems like there's no hope. This is why and how we can be at peace when the world can't understand our peace. I think about the other boats which Mark tells us about in verse 36. When this all happened, all this storm and calming of the storm, we read there were other boats around. I just wonder what they made of out of this experience. Right? They probably have no clue that it was Jesus who commanded the sea to be quiet. I think for them, it just happened. And their fear was gone because the sea was calm. But the fear will be again when the next storm comes. But for the disciples, the ones that had Jesus in the vessel, Jesus forever changed their fear. And Jesus forever changes our fear. And I dare say, that's how a mother who lost his son in an unexplainable tragedy can still live and love and rest. Because Jesus died, so we will live. Listen to these words. Be gone, unbelief. My Savior is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer, let me wrestle, and he will perform with Christ in the vessel. I smile at the storm. These are the words of John Newton, who was a pastor and also a sailor in the Royal Navy of England. And it's the same Newton that wrote the words of Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me. His word of hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. He knew about the storms on the boat, for sure. And he also knew about a storm in his own life. And he sings, amazing grace, with Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen.